Welcome into another edition of Locked On Bills. Nate Geary, Jason Shannon here with you as always on Wednesday afternoons, bringing you the latest in Bills talk. And of course, on this edition of Locked On Bills, which you can check out at LockedOnBills.com, of course, on Twitter at Locked On Bills. And we are, of course, on Audio Boom and iTunes. So if you want to check us out, that's the spot to get us. You can follow me on Twitter at Nate Geary, WGR, and Jason to the for our friend Jason Shannon here. So, Jason, today, obviously, last week we broke down the running back position, how the Bills might try to replace some carries for Mike Tolbert, who likely won't be back with the team. So, big news this week, obviously, the Bills sign Chris Ivory. We could talk a little bit about that to start as well. But I'm most interested in what the New York Giants did today. They traded away, or they traded for the Rams starting linebacker in Alec Ogletree, a guy they paid big money to, a guy that actually we're just talking about with Eric Turner on Twitter today, a guy that's making over $10 million a year and maybe one of the worst contracts for middle linebackers in the league. And then right as we were talking about that on Twitter, it broke that he was traded to the Giants. And I think that's a huge move for the Giants in regards to what the second overall pick might be available for the Bills here. And to me, sure, Jason, this is a clear sign that the Giants are loading up their roster now, thinking that Eli Manning could still bring them a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely multiple facets to look at it with. I think that was probably a fair to probably an overpay as far as what the trade was, because
I think so.
Really had a pretty bad season last year. It's been a tackle numbers guy the last couple of years, but I would say is probably a negative linebacker at this point.
I want to say he was ranked 380 out of 398 players ranked by Pro Football Focus. Don't quote.
Yeah, I actually have I have starting players who had enough snaps to be considered one of their starting players, and they have him at 76th out of 86.
So there you go.
That's not a good number either, no matter how you look at it. So, yeah, I don't know what to say else about the trade, but it also says they apparently like him, and they apparently think he's going to be an improvement to their defense, which means that they're buying into this team, and that means that they think they're going to go all in with Eli, and I think it's a weird move for a roster that had made the second worst record of the whole league. But I just think that that's what they're going to do. But not only that, but now after this trading away two picks, they're down to five picks on the whole draft, and they might have done this preemptively knowing that they're trading back, and no matter who it is, whether it's the Jets, whether it's the Broncos, whether it's the Cardinals, whether it's the Bills, they're going to get multiple picks back, and it could be three or four of them depending on how far they go back.
I think that's maybe the best point about this, Jason, and I'm glad you brought it up, is the five remaining picks. You're probably thinking, Nate, how could you determine that this team now wants to trade back after they traded for a linebacker? How could you even come to that conclusion? And I get there by saying is exactly what you just said. The five remaining draft picks this year don't leave them a ton of draft capital. This is a team with just about now $13 million in available cap space. They have offensive linemen that need to be replaced. One of the things that they were talking about doing was going all in on Andrew Norwell, the right guard from the Carolina Panthers. Dave Gettleman brought him into Carolina, so there was a lot of talk that they were going to throw a ton of money at Norwell. Well, that's not happening now. I can't see them spending that kind of money to bring in a right guard, starting right guard, and a guy who's going to get paid tons of money, considering they have tons more holes to fill at the linebacker position. They still need another starting linebacker. They need to figure out what they're doing on the offensive line, and they need to find a running back and potentially a secondary wide receiver. So this is a team in the Giants that have a lot of holes to fill. They only have five picks remaining. And this is a team, in my opinion, that could stand pat. And this could be a move that they want to stay at two, and they're going to take Quentin Nelson out of Notre Dame. That could totally be the case. But I think I like what you said. This is a team now that makes the most sense to move back. And obviously, you know the relationship with Brandon Bean and Dave Gettleman. You know, Brandon Bean was Dave Gettleman's assistant GM all but, what, 1 year ago. So yeah, the relationship, the working relationship is there. The limited cap space and the multiple holes to fill suggest that the Giants are a premier trade-up partner for the Buffalo Bills, and I think the one that makes the most sense. And you look at this situation is and the other thing that I look at, too, that I think you're right about them being sort of crazy for thinking that you know, you're going to maybe get two or three more additional years out of Eli Manning, and you're going to try to build that roster around him. And I think it goes to show you just how out of touch some NFL organizations are, and specifically Dave Gettleman. I was never a Dave Gettleman fan. I thought he was rightfully fired for some of the moves that he made in Carolina. And then the Giants just come in and bring him in. And the Giants are one of those organizations that you knew they were going to go with a veteran, and this is a guy that's been around the league for a while, but he's like Joe Banner to me. Like, he's just made enough bad mistakes as a general manager, as a guy who's running an organization, that I just not really going there with him. So for me, you have – listen, the number one and the number two pick, they come around, what, once every century? Like look at the Bills, for instance. When have the Bills picked one or two in the draft? Mike Williams? Was that the last time they picked two?
That was four. Honestly, one or two is like 85 with Bruce Smith.
And that's without having to trade up or give up assets to get into that position. Like, that only comes around every blue moon if you're lucky. Right? Yeah. Unless you're the Browns, which are just perennially bad. But when you look at a team like the Giants, who have been a capable franchise, they have two Super Bowl wins over the last decade and a half. This is an organization that isn't used to being at the top of the draft. This absolutely signifies an opportunity for you to do something that not a lot of teams get to do, and that's draft a replacement before your current starting and franchise quarterback is ready to retire. This is a perfect scenario that played out for the Giants, and if I was a Giants fan, I would be livid with the idea that this team's going to trade out of the number two spot and not take a quarterback. Having said that, I look at them, and everything to me says they're not going to do that. And I think it makes – listen, I don't know what it's going to take to get to two, Jason, but I'm willing to negotiate whatever it's going to take to get there.
Sure. I mean, there's a couple things to think about here. I have to agree about the getting a replacement quarterback. It's absolutely insane to me because, again, like a franchise like them, they don't get to do that very often. Even the Bills get to go and pick top five, top ten every so often. They're a Super Bowl winning franchise, and they have an aging quarterback who's clearly on the decline. There are the quarterbacks in this draft, and that's why I think – I wonder, A, if this is like a smokescreen and they're just doing a really good job as a good organization. But it seems like everybody is convinced that the quarterback's not going to happen. So in the next step, I'm just wondering how they could not – how the plan wouldn't be to trade back. Because I just – right. I think it would be such – a crazy move to not only pass up a quarterback, but again, the guys I'm about to mention are going to be Pro Bowl players probably, but to not take more picks and go and draft Bradley Chubb or Quentin Nelson or Saquon Barkley, I think is pretty insane to pass up a quarterback to just take those guys. I think if you're going to pass up a quarterback, it's to just completely steal a bunch of picks from a franchise.
And I think – I just think in terms of logistics, Jason, like, you look at the Giants and where those holes are on the roster. It's a very top-end heavy roster. This has got – you know, their top 10 will rival any team in the NFL, in my opinion, in terms of their top 10 skilled position players. Not only that, but in the defensive side of the ball, they might have one of the most dominant defensive lines in football. So, like, you look at that, and not only that, but they have Landon Collins, who's what? One of the top two or three safeties in all of the league. They got Javaris Jenkins, who's what? One of the top three or four corners in the league. So, like, they are a very top-end heavy team, much like the Bills, who are not as top-heavy as the Giants were last year, lack significant amounts of depth. And that is what you need when you get to October, November, December, when, you know, you've played a bunch of games, you already have had your bye week and injuries pile up. The depth of rosters, to me, are what make playoff teams. And I think that was one of the main reasons the Giants were so bad last year. Yeah. And for them to simply say, with $13 million in cap space, to fill, let's just say conservatively, they need to add 15 starting to depth players or 1 and 1A guys or 1 and 2 guys on your team. They need 15 of those players. How are you going to do that with five picks in $13 million? To me, it's fiscally impossible. So to me, you're right. There is just, to me, there's no situation now unless they decide to take a quarterback, which I think would be a huge mistake, because now you're talking about having four picks in $13 million to fill those other positions while you're taking – they've put themselves in a situation where they can now not take a quarterback.
Yeah, I think the trade back is definitely going to – but I think it's going to be fruitful for them, because I do think that
there's
going to be competition there. There may be competition for Berkeley, but I definitely think for the quarterbacks there. And I think people look at, well, we just have to – you know, get ahead of the Jets and the Broncos, get our guy, depending on what happens in free agency. But those teams are going to be in competition too. as far as taking those guys. If they want to get their number one or number two quarterback, if they really like Darnold or Rosen or whoever, they're not going to wait to get the third or fourth quarterback, which might happen at five or six. And then you look at teams, there's a lot of rumors about Miami maybe being interested in that. I have no idea where they are right now with Ryan Tannehill. And Arizona's still there with just Blaine Gabbert right now. Free agency is going to shake out a lot of this right now. Sure. But there's also, you know, Case Keenum could sign with Denver tomorrow, and they could still be want a quarterback in the first round. That's very feasible, especially if you get some sort of Mike Glennon contract or something front-loaded, start a year, then, you know, they want Josh Allen or whatever. But I know that there was a press conference that John Elway had where somebody had questioned, like, hey, you'd already had a few swings and misses at the quarterback position. What are you going to do? He was basically like, I'm going to keep swinging for it. Like, we need a quarterback and keep taking them. So those are teams that could move up. Who knows with Jacksonville how they feel. I just think there's going to be a lot of competition. And if you look in some drafts, second overall isn't worth nearly as much as it is when Robert Griffin's there, for considered how highly he was regarded at the time. They end up getting 9 picks, including 3 first-round picks out of it. So,
and then they ended up not even – he wasn't even the franchise quarterback. It's just,
no, and yeah. Al Golgotree was one of those guys. I think, like, 4 years later, they have one of those picks remaining. But that's just bad drafting by the Rams. So, I think competition definitely creates the value of these picks. So I think when people say it's as simple as, like, a first and a second here or whatever, the price might be extraordinarily high to get up into the range to get a quarterback, unless somebody falls.
I think it's going to be right
near the bottom of the top 10 into the teens. If there's a guy like Mayfield or Rosen that we really like, I think that suddenly then maybe the price becomes a little less, but trade to two is a huge trade.
Yeah. And you mentioned it. And I think maybe what's interesting is if Denver does get Case Keenum and let's say Minnesota gets Kirk Cousins, which honestly turns out to be a worst case scenario for the Bills, because I think what the best case scenario for the Bills would have been Kirk Cousins going to the Jets, right. Kirk Cousins going to the Browns, Kirk Cousins going to, I don't know, Denver. Like those are the teams right there that if he could have ended up there, that would have made another logical trade partner for the Bills. Because one of those teams now have the quarterback checked off the board.
But yeah, the Cousins team, I wouldn't think would be drafting a quarterback. But a Keenum team, any of these other second-tier free agent quarterbacks, I think they're still completely in the market.
And listen, I just think we're getting to a point where, and we might as well talk about this quarterback situation, where it, interestingly enough, you just look at it and you say, okay, I think the only logical way to leave this draft feeling good about your quarterback is if you trade up and you go get the top guy. And there is discussion about who that top guy is. In my opinion, it's Josh Rosen, and it's not close. And then it's Baker Mayfield and then Sam Darnold. But it doesn't matter. For me, what I guess I mean is if you decide that you physically cannot trade up, and that's why this timeline is tough for the Bills, is you need to make a decision on a free agent before the draft. And if they feel that there is an inkling in the world that they might not be able to get up, Teddy Bridgewater needs to be on the top of this team's list. I just think when you look across, if I had to pick between Teddy Bridgewater and Kirk Cousins this year, and both of them wanted to come to Buffalo, I'd pick Teddy Bridgewater. And the reason I'm saying that is you're likely going to get Bridgewater for a really, really cheap deal. Something like, I don't know, 2 years and $25, $30 million. Like and plus and tons of incentives. So you could get him cheap on a prove-it deal. And then if you get to the draft and you're on draft day and you decide, you know what, I'm going to stay put and draft Lamar Jackson. Or I'm going to stay put and draft Mason Rudolph. You've set yourself up now, much like Washington did. You're getting a guy in the draft, in their case, two guys, but getting a backup just in case, a backup plan, just a plan B. And I think if you could figure out, if you walked away not trading 21 or 22 or any future first-round picks or anything, and you just stayed put and drafted Mason Rudolph at 22 and Vita Vea or whoever else you're deciding that you're going to draft at 21 and then fill in some starters in the second and third round, and you end up with Teddy Bridgewater, Mason Rudolph, and you know Nate Peterman next year in a quarterback room. Honestly, I'm walking away from that, and I'm feeling decent with the idea that if this doesn't work out, and you can always pick a quarterback next year, but it isn't just trade up or die for me, but for me, it's close. Like I don't love the idea of not doing anything and sort of going with the Teddy Bridgewater and Mason Rudolph or Lamar Jackson or whoever, you know, insert your secondary or second tier draftable quarterback this year. It's not an ideal situation for me, but I would take it if I had to.
No, I agree. And I think that the plan was probably do everything we can, collect all the ammo that we could last season to go and get the quarterback. Unfortunately, or fortunately, how you think about it, because we did go and make the playoffs, that our pick isn't probably where they thought it would be. They probably thought, hey, we're going to have to trade up from 10, not 21. Kansas City's pick during the offseason certainly looked like maybe they'd be out of the playoffs. They overperformed, I would say.
And you know, Jason, I think what pisses me off more than anything is, I don't know, I was a big, big, big Patrick Mahomes. Just he was, to me, it just worked out where I thought, absolutely, the Bills are going to have an opportunity to draft this guy. He is, to me, one of the most interesting prospects. He was the most interesting prospect in that draft to me because he had the biggest and the highest ceiling. And I know Sal Capaccio right. agrees with me. We both loved Mahomes. We both really wanted Mahomes. It didn't work out, and that's okay. But I think that when you look at this draft, they can't be the Browns. You can't every year be in a position to take a legitimate quarterback and not do it. And this year, they aren't in my opinion anyways, they aren't in a position to take a elite quarterback. But they have the assets to go up and get one. So eventually you do need to take care of this position. And whether or not it's at 21 or it's at 2, I think we can both agree that there needs to be a free agent addition because I just don't feel good about Nate Peterman being your backup next year.
No, and I also think that it's not impossible that Tyrod is – he could stay. We did go to the playoffs. We did pick up the salary bonus there. So I wouldn't say that it's definitely going to happen, but they also have gotten themselves into a situation where they can fall back on that in case they completely whiff out. Every year I say, man, I just wish the draft was before free agency so we could kind of do this in a different order because the draft is so big of a variable, and I'd love to be able to kind of have more of control after the draft where then you could kind of pick your guys. So, we have to kind of do things backwards. I mean, the same thing was kind of with the running back position. I was kind of like, well, let's just use like a second round pick on a running back and then we'll go and fill in a guy later. But we could also just end up, SOL if we whiff on a running back in the draft. So it's interesting how you have to do that. And I think veteran quarterback could still happen. But I still think that this team's plan, even though I think it was made harder by the way that everybody had finished, including the Rams and the Eagles and those picks, I think that our plan's to move up and try to go get a guy. And I've heard from various, people who talk to people who talk to people who talk to people that we've been watching guys like Darnold and Rosen since last year, waiting for this moment to do it.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point too because, they are absolutely, I would say – maybe more than the Browns, maybe not with the Browns, but the most prepared, the most ready to take a franchise quarterback. So it's going to be whether or not they decide to do it. All right, that's going to do it for Jason and I for this week's edition of Locked On Bills. Make sure to tweet at us at Locked On Bills. Let us know your thoughts. Does this Giants move open the door for the Bills to trade up to the number 2 pick and get their franchise quarterback? At Locked On Bills on Twitter, lockedonbills.com. You can check us out at Audio Boom and iTunes. I'm Nate Geary. That's Jason Shannon. This is Locked On Bills.
Thank you.